Today is Thursday, May the 17th, 1973, and I'm interviewing Sam and Lorene Shearhart at their home at Barter Settlement. Mrs. Shearhart, who were your parents?
Well, my daddy was August Shearhart.
And your mother?
One of the second youngest of the Shearhart, the 9 Shearhart brothers. And my mother was a Bendy. Catherine or Katie, they call the Bendy.
All right, she was the daughter of?
She was the daughter of Joseph Bentley and, what was her grandmother's name again? Mary.
And her last name was it Brock?
Yeah,
Brock.
Brown. We understood. Brown. Yeah.
Now you say August was the second youngest of the 9 boys.
Yeah.
Do you know where they were raised, the Nicholas Shearhart family?
Well, the Nicholas Shearhart family, they were raised here in mostly Pasadena. But.
In that house that Edith Hans lives in now, is that?
Well, I wouldn't say that. My uncle Leo lived in there for so long, but I don't know whether that was the original Shearhart home or not. That's what I wouldn't say that for sure.
Well, what did Edith told me something about that home? You know, that's beautiful.
Well, it, I don't know, as well as I remember, I don't know whether it belonged to my grandpa. I know only Leo Shearhart. He lived there as long as I did.
Okay, in your family, in the August Shearhart family, how many children were there?
You mean in
just
the...
you and your brother?
Just me and my brother, yeah.
You're the oldest? Mm-hmm. And when were you born?
In 93, July the 28th.
93. Okay, so that makes you about 80 years old.
Just about. If I live through July, then I'll
be 80.
Be 80.
Okay, well, you're not that old. I've interviewed several 90-year-old ones in the parish. Okay, Mrs. Shearhart, you were Lorene Burnett, and your father and mother were
Joseph Burnett and
Lizzie Hand. Okay, now, Joseph Burnett's father and mother were
who? You mean
your father's father and mother were Louis Burnett?
Well, Louis Burnett.
And some
of their brothers?
No.
Or
who
your
was
grandmother?
Who was your grandmother?
Burnett. Oh, she was a layman.
Layman.
Burnett, yeah. Uh-huh. And your grandma Hans was a Haiti.
Your grandma Hans. Okay, yeah. Who was your grandfather Hans?
Justine Hans.
Oh, Justine Hans.
Mm-hmm.
And your grandmother was Barbara
Hans. Hans.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, now when were you born?
I was born in 98, October 24th, 98.
So you're about 6 years younger than Mr. Shearhart.
No, I'll be 75 now.
Okay, how many children do you two have?
Seven,
and they're all living?
Mm-hmm.
All living. And how many grandchildren do you have?
5.
You have more than 5.
Grandchildren.
Oh, I'm thinking about great-grandchildren.
33. And then do you have great grandchildren?
Yeah, 5.
5. That's what you were thinking of.
Next year, there's some that you double.
44 years old.
Her husband grounded right below where the peasant preaches.
That's just
the footbridge there, and he worked over on the castle side. And at night, when he went home, the river was kind of up on a rise, and he fell off of that bridge, and that's where he died. That was his grandfather.
Uh-huh. Justin Hanks. Well, now, did your grandmother then, the children were raised probably by then, or older?
Well, she raised them, yes.
Uh-huh. Where did they live? Where was their
home? Well, they were in the, I guess they were all raised there, because that was grandma's house as long as I can remember.
We know an interesting story about your grandfather. He died at a young age. Because he was
Burnett.
Yes, Louis Burnett.
He got killed.
Uh-huh. And what was the man's name that killed him?
Shawshank.
Shawshank. Okay, do you know his first name? Was it Pierre?
I don't know. Pierre. Wouldn't know his first name. I know where it happened. Right there on the Medina, right above after you
turned the
corner along that river road.
Where'd that creek come
from? And there's a creek by that name, Chaucer Creek, today.
Okay, was that name Chaucer Creek because the killing happened there, or
well,
was
no,
he lived there?
Well, no, he lived there on top of the hill. He lived there. And the squabble was he didn't want any. He didn't want that low. They used that low where the road is now. They used that for gardening, see. And the original road was the way I understand was on top of the hill, and he didn't want to use. He didn't want to travel up the lower road on account of that. But he.
Yeah, but that when that happened that day, he didn't have an argument with him. He just.
No, he waylaid him behind that. The rock was, I remember the rock.
He come down, he was a butcher. And he come down to Castle to deliver meat. And his daddy was in the back of him on horseback.
Horseback.
And he taken a shovel and killed my grandpa. And then he shot at my grandpa. My grandpa turned on back at the horse.
Yeah,
but he never hit him.
But he never hit him.
Now, wait a minute. You mean Louis, his father, was behind him?
Yeah, on horseback.
And he shot at him after he hit your
grandpa,
After he killed her grandpa, he killed her with a shovel.
Uh-huh.
He waylaid him behind that rock. And that rock, I remember that rock.
Oh, in other words, he ambushed him, sort of.
He ambushed him there.
Oh, I thought they were working together in the line.
No.
In other words, they had
and
a drug.
And he come by with those days, they had little wagon, they called it the butcher wagon.
Well,
and up there where Milton lives now, they have that butcher fence up there.
Now, you're talking about the Wernesco butchers?
Yeah, and they lived up there. Yeah.
Her grandpa and her.
They lived around where Milton lives now.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, do you know anything about this Chaucer, his family?
He had a boy. But I wouldn't know his name, but they made him leave town and never to. You see, I'll tell you a little story about the Chaucer. He skipped the country, you know, after this happened. And a fellow by the name of Pinchner, Fellas Pinchner. He was at that time, he had some officer. Later on he became postmaster, captain, but he had some office. He knew that this fellow Chaucer had some money deposited in a certain bank at San Antonio. So he was afoot, you know, he was making it for the bank to draw his money and then he skipped the country. That was his idea. So they got on horses. And they beat him to the bank, and they was waiting on him when he, and they took an extra horse along to bring him back. So here he come, you know, and they grabbed him, and they brought him back. They put him on this horse, and they tied his feet.
Together,
so he couldn't jump off, you know, and his arms. And that's the way they brought him back. And they say that on bringing him back, once in a while, they'd go off in a trot. And you know, when you trot that away, and the horse is pretty rough, you know. And he begged him to kill him, you know, instead of tormenting him that way. They brought him to jail. They already had his son in jail, right where the courthouse is now, and back of that way. I don't know whether you remember where the old jail was. Well, there they had him in jail. So, that night, they got this Chaucer, the one that killed her grandpa, they got him out, took him up on the hill and hung him.
Close to the cemetery
on that back or on the what they used to call it the mail barcla, you know. Well, that's where they hung. They left him hang there until after the funeral.
Of your grandfather.
They never tried him, yeah.
Of the
Chaucer.
Well, no, he was dead.
He's the Vernon.
He was dead. Yeah,
they took
my dad, my grandpa, The Chaucer wasn't
that's
dead.
The one that killed his grandpa.
Well, Chaucer, he's talking about that they hung
he was dead.
See, they brought him back from San Antonio, you know, and they put him in jail, and he had only that one son. And when they got the old man out jail that night to hang him, the boy, he made such a noise, hollering, you know, and they shot him just to keep him quiet. But they didn't kill him. But later on, after it was all over with, they turned him out, and they told him to never return to Castile. And he never did. That was old man Chaucer's wife. Now here's another thing. Old man Chaucer's wife disappeared.
And what about a daughter?
They never, I don't know, I never heard of a daughter, but his wife disappeared and they never could find out what the problem was. Probably he killed her and buried her somewhere.
Well, Mrs. Ida Smith told me that story also, that her mother had told it. She was a sharp girl.
Yeah.
And she said that her mother told her that he covered up a cistern at the time that this woman disappeared. And the people asked him where she went, and he couldn't talk good English. He was French.
Yeah.
And he told them in broken houses that they'd gone off. But she said it was the daughter and the mother.
No, it was, the way I understand it, was this boy. And
no, Daddy, but that was before the boy.
Well,
before this happened
maybe
to my
before,
grandma, that
but they never knew. They knew, they figured that he had killed her and gone away with her, you know, as far as I know. But he killed his, pretty certain he killed his wife and put her somewhere. Maybe he died or something.
Well, I saw this in the St. Louis burial record, that Louis Burnett died September the 5th, 1873, and he was about 24 years old. His wife was Maria Lehman, is that right?
Annie Lehman, yeah.
Annie Lehman. Okay.
I'll tell you where that place was. I don't know whether you know where our place is? On the back street, you know, where Jacob lived?
Yeah.
Well, on the next corner, when you go north,
Brad, I tell
to the
you
left.
That, it's right across the street.
And
right across the street
part of the Slayton place.
Yeah.
Well, the old right. Slayton place is still there. And right across there was a little house there where
George
Scallop lived in. The last one.
And
well, they lived there, and that's why he hung himself on the left corner.
They added on to that, like, so part of that house is Rock House.
Yeah.
So it's in downtown.
You know, if he was a stonemason.
He was. All three of those
halberdier
were stonemasons.
Well, see, what I'm trying to find out who were stonemasons on the church. And Miss Rosa Youngman told me that she remembered her mother saying, or she said it herself, that it was so sad that this Adrian Halberdier had worked so hard in the church, and then he wasn't allowed to be buried in the cemetery because they had put him in a special place.
Onto that porch, the way I understand.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know whether Grandpa Shearhart, whether he had, I don't know if any, that he owned any land and the property.
They frayed it, seeing those things.
They frayed it.
Yeah.
You see, Uncle Ed, that is Julius Shearhart's daddy, and he's one of those boys,
Joe.
he killed an Indian chief, you know, and that was on a trip when they
went to Fort McCann.
When they went to, when they went for Mexico and all like that.
Yeah.
My daddy, when he was a young boy, he went with some of that trips.
Oh, he went?
Yeah.
But he was real small. Well, my great-grandfather Louis, was a young boy too. He was along on that trip where it killed him.
Where it got,
He was the youngest brother along that time.
Yeah. Well, Uncle Louie was, my dad was, Uncle Louie must have been right before my dad. And Uncle Henry.
And then Amy was the youngest boy.
Amy was the youngest, and my dad was the second youngest, but then there was two girls. Miss Jaggy and Miss
Rankin.
Rankin.
Well, now Miss Rankin was the
she
youngest
was the
child.
Baby.
She was born after Nicholas died.
Yeah.
Okay. What did Nicholas die of? Do you know when he died from?
He got killed.
How?
On a trip.
Nicholas? Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah, he got killed on a trip.
Well, I never heard that.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, they're in danger. Then. Indian, you know, that
well, I never had heard that. I thought he died at home.
No, I take that back. He killed an Indian chief on one of the trips.
Oh.
They was trying to do this that night, they was trying to stampede the mules into the house. And as they come by, he shot at one and had to be
a chief.
And he said, well, that's right.
Well, now, that's it.
Yeah, but how he died...
I thought he just died from an illness.
Probably.
But anyway, they didn't have a whole lot of money, and evidently the boys had to keep freighting to support the family. In fact, well, now this came from Ethel. She She said Ed used to tell her all these stories. She said he was really a good storyteller.
Well, Ed was one of the
trail riders.
Oldest ones, and he
trail
was
riders, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know which one of it was Ed. Ed was the one that killed that
child. Yes, Ed was. Right. And he's been had to keep freighting to support the family. In fact, well, now this came from Ethel. She said Ed used to tell her all these stories. She said he was really a good storyteller.
Well, Ed was one of the
trail riders.
Oldest ones, and he
trail
was
riders,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know which one of it was Ed. Ed was the one that killed that child.
Yes, Ed was. Right. And it's in several books, this story.
See, Ed was married at the time, too.
Yeah, to Anna Stepanek, the midwife.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Well, now, your father married late in life then, too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, my mother was a bandler, and then later on he married Miss Mary, you know.
Oh, Mary.
Yeah.
She
was a widow.
Oh, yes.
Wilfred Mary.
Yeah, she was Wilfred
Mary.
She was a
butcher. Now, how old was your mother, Mrs. Sherrod, when she died?
38.
And how many children did she have at the time?
7.
Well, did she was she working, or what? How did that happen?
No. My daddy went over to the neighbor that killed cattle, you know, a cow or a calf or something. The neighbors would share it, and then he went over to get some meat. And he had a horse in a little trap and had one at home. And she went to get that horse in the trap, and then she brought her armful of feed along, and the rope was long enough, and she tied it on her arm and leading the horse, and then she, the way we think she did it, throwed it over the fence, and then she throwed it over the fence. It must have scared the horse, and she fell, and then the horse struck her to death.
The horse struck her the way out of it.
About a half a mile.
Clean around the field.
No. Straight across through the field, down the road.
Now, where was this place, your home?
Utopia.
Oh, you lived in Utopia at that time?
Yeah. And I was 10 years old, and the baby was a year old.
A year old.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have older sisters, too? Or were you the only two girls?
No, I was the oldest. And
oh, you were the oldest child?
Yeah, I was 10 years. And
What did your dad do then?
See, Grandma had
he come down to his mother then. She was married again, Grandma Bender. She married Lori Bender.
She married my uncle.
And
Lori Bender. That was her grandma. Her
and then we stayed there.
Her daddy's mother.
Now you're talking about Justine Hans's wife?
No, talking about Grandma Bender. That's Mary Ann.
Oh,
Mary Ann, I guess her name was. You said Mary.
Uh-huh.
Lehman. Married Louis.
Oh, your grandfather Lehman had died.
Yeah.
And she married a Bendley then. I see. So you both have Bendleys on your, yours is just a step-grandfather, but your mother, grandmother was a Bendley. Your mother was
my
a Bendley.
My mother was a Bendley, and my uncle married her grandmother.
Oh.
My child. Edwin Bendley, he was my first cousin, and he was her uncle.
Oh, she had a child then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the only one, though, huh?
Yeah.
And now you see, her first husband, that was the one that got killed, Joshie.
Yeah, well, they had two children named Louis and Bill.
Wait a minute, that was her grandfather, though.
No, it's a...
Joshie killed.
Yeah.
No, yeah, my grandfather, yeah.
That was her grandfather.
Yeah.
Her grandfather.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about her mother and her daddy now.
Her
mother got drugged to death.
Her
right?
mother got drugged to death.
And then your daddy had to bring up you children. And I guess you were probably in charge of the family, weren't you?
Well, no, Grandma was taking care of it.
Grandma took care of it. And you lived in Castorville?
No, we stayed in Castorville only the school term.
Oh, I see.
And we had to go home and help pick cotton and pick corn and
when you went to school,
was in 8, and then in 13 he got married again, and Grandma moved to Honda.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And then
so where did you live after your father married the second time?
Well, we stayed at home a while, and then in 1916, I think it was, or 17, I come to Castorville, 16, I've come to Castle and stayed with Grandma Hans. When I was 19, I got married.
Uh-huh. Now, where did Grandma Hans live?
Well, now where Miss Grove lives.
I'm not really on family's place, by that old.
Okay, now, her, she was Barbara Hayes.
Yeah.
Now, she was the daughter of Nicholas Hayes, right? And mm-hmm. her mother was
who? Teresa Hayes. Teresa. Now, Aunt Ella says it was Teresa back, but I've got a statement here in the barter book. It's Teresa Schwandemann.
Schwandemann.
Because they was hinged with Schwandemann.
Civil War.
And he was going with her, with Miss Teresa Schwandemann. And then, you know, years and years ago, they had paddlers. And this paddler stayed all night there, and I don't know what they did. Anyhow, she got pregnant and something happened. And she got this child. And then was 3 years old when Grandpa come back. And then she cried on Grandpa's shoulders when she come back. And he said, "There is healing it at the side of him, I say, Barbara and Sherman.
Father and five.
And but they never had no children together. That's where Grandma said in the food itself.
And it worked for
you're gonna be paid.
For the Carless at Dunley in a store. And then Mr. Carley had a section of land here west of Castle that he offered to my dad.
What's this we're living on?
For 2.5 acres. But Mr. Carley, the land belonged, I don't know whether I should say who it belonged to, but it belonged to
Lehman.
So my daddy says, "Well, I'll wait until you had to foreclose on the estate, you know. And when you get possession of it, and then I'll take it. So after Mr. Carley had possession of the land, my dad says, "Well, I'll take that land for 2.5. But Mr. Carley says, "No, it'll cost you 5 now." So
it was a section of land.
So my dad says 5. He says, "I don't think I can handle it for that. For $5, the whole piece." But he says, "I believe I got a brother that will take half of it." So he got his brother Leo, and they split the section, and each one took half for $5 an acre.
This is his land.
This is the land which we have, which we live on now.
And then, so Leo bought some of it. Well, then did
Leo bought, he got his brother Leo to take the other half. Leo sold it then later on, you know, and it changed hands several times. This land here still belongs to the sheriff.
But originally it was land.
Well, it belongs to me and my family, you know. Of course, I inherited and I bought out my brother's part, you know, what he had done.
Well, where were you raised? In Castleville?
No, I was born in Dunley.
Oh.
And then we moved to San Antonio. And in 1900, we moved from San Antonio to Castleville. I was 7 years old. And my daddy's brothers come in with wagons to haul us out.
Move us out.
So they come in and they loaded the wagons. They took off one day and they made it halfway to Castleville that night that we camped on the road, and I remember that as if it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. From down on South Louis is where we lived. And we didn't make it all the way, so we camped that night. And the next day we come on in. 2 days it took.
Mm-hmm. Well, where did you live then in Castleville?
Well, we lived with my grandma, Bentley, for a while, and then later on, we lived in several places before my daddy built the old. I still own the place that my daddy had, you know.
That you used for a rent house. Did your grandma Bentley live where, in that Brooklyn house right next to the school?
My grandma Bentley.
Goes up here to the...
You know that road?
You know that rock house that Thomas just come. to the left.
It's a big, long rock cross. It's right off a block over the old
house. Where's Johnson? Has got it. He should know who it is.
Who?
Johnson.
Johnson.
Has got it.
Is that the one he lived
in? That was my grandmother.
Yeah, that's where it's Mary's grandmother.
Oh. And they put a windmill up on a high...
on a tree.
Tree.
We still got that picture.
Yeah, they cut the limbs and set the wind mounted the windmill up. There,
that's
the pipe along
the trunk of the tree.
You know those bit along the big cypress tree that go along with them? Well, that's where. And I don't know, I was talking about it. And right above him is where the steins live, the old steins. See, my uncle Louis Bender's wife was a stein. She was Alfred Stein, and then her sister.
Mm. Well, Alfred Stein was the youngest
one. Alfred was the youngest one, and what is the other one's name?
Jack
Stein?
Jack, yeah. And then one was Miss Louie Biediger.
Yeah, Miss Louie Biediger.
And Miss Geyer at the...
Miss Geyer. Geyer at the... Pearsall?
Pearsall, yeah.
Well, that was...
Donald over Lawrence.
My uncle Louie Bentley's wife
was the one of the
sisters. She was a Stein, yes.
Only for 16, 17 years.
Yeah, he's been up and down. Finally gave it up.
Did he run the hearse, or was that Leo? You know, that hearse, that wagon drawn, the horse
drawn. Yeah, horse drawn.
They bought that in 1950.
Yeah, my dad, he drove that hearse several times, you know, in the next year.
Oh, well, was that story true about during Prohibition with that hearse? Would they pull it up to the... What did they use before they had that herd?
That's what they used. Uh-huh. Uncle Leo, being that he wasn't... You see, Uncle Leo, he had the contract to haul the mail and from Lacoste and the passengers, you know.
Yeah.
That's before we had a highway, before uh-huh. we had cars. If they wanted to go to town, to San Antonio, they had to go to Lacoste and get on the train and then go to town. Or either... go to town straight with a horse and buggy or somewhere. Uh-huh. And they had that mail hack, they called it. They took passengers. They hauled passengers from there, from Castro to the car, back and forth. And they also hauled the mail, you know.
Uh-huh.
They used that same hack, they called it a hack.
Yeah.
They used that to haul for funerals, you know.
Oh, I see.
And at that time, we walked back at the funeral.
Yeah.
And being that Uncle Leo...
They walked all the way up and all the way down, but they don't do
the that. Uncle Leo kept, at that place, he always kept 2 to 6 horses and mules that he worked in the on this hack.
Well, they were awesome.
And he had a couple of them. Ford.
Yes.
And Ford and Nick and August. They all three drove that.
Yeah, I knew the sport had driven it too. Now, when you were a little boy and you came back to Castle to live, did the mail come to Lacoste at that time?
Yeah.
All right, do you ever remember the mail coming to Newnan, Texas?
Not to Newnan. The only time they went to Newnan with passengers or something like that is on a kind of high water when they couldn't cross the Medina.
Yeah.
But they had a road. A high water road that went through the pasture, through these Incan pastures. It went in right here where Miss Dame lives somewhere.
Yeah.
And it cut, they call it the high, and it went to Lacoste without going
over the river,
see?
Uh-huh.
But they only used that in case of high water. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that river would be up maybe for a week or so or longer, you know, before they could, because see the difference between then and now. Now we have that dam up there, and that holds back a lot of that water.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen, before that dam was up there, I've seen that river bank to bank many a time.
Yeah. And well, in 1900, they had a little bank. Yeah.
Well, in 1900, when we lived in Grandma's place, and the water broke out right above. On that street here, that lived on that back street that goes down through the river.
Where Noonan's lived now, till Noonan.
Oh, and the water broke out. It's a tall rock building. They call it the White
place, and it's still there, that old rock. The right in back there is where they walk the full count. And it comes across town, right, a beeline, and the Heiser place.
Yeah.
And Ed Youngman lived on that. It was the Meyer place at that time. And they had a few foot of water in their house. And
that house is low.
That used to be, years ago, that used to be the river channel. And the river finally worked its way around that curve like this in time. Mm-hmm. But that's why it went straight up. And where Ed Shearhart lived, or Julius and them down there, that's where it went. It kind of curved there and went back into the river.
But this water never went to the river.
This water, it's on Shearhart.